originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it was all for Chuck McGee. Super Sabre wins the Derby for Todd Fletcher.
Basalt will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And Dialed In never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Jude Feld.
Good evening, everyone, wherever you may be. Trainer Talk is on the air. Tonight's broadcast, sponsored by Fasig Tipton, is the show that trainers listen to. This is Jude Feld, and I'm very pleased to spend the next hour with you and our very special guest. Tonight's trainer has won almost 1,600 races and finished in the money nearly 4,000 times while banking over $57 million in purses. He has been ranked in the top 100 North American trainers for 13 consecutive years. And in 2010, he won the iconic Breeders' Cup Classic with Zenyatta Belame, as our colleague Anthony Stabile often says. Fairgrounds opens Friday, and when you think of New Orleans trainers, the one who always comes to mind is Al Stahl Jr. Hey, Al, welcome to Trainer Talk.
Oh, thanks, Jude. Thanks for having me.
Your grandfather and your father were owners and breeders dating back nearly 50 years. Are they responsible for your love of the game?
Without question. And being from New Orleans and the fairgrounds is, you know, part of the fabric in the city of New Orleans. And those two things combined definitely got us interested as young children. And I'm the only one who stayed with it in the family. So I wasted a lot of time when I was young. It could have gone the wrong way, but it worked out in the end.
your dad, he was the chairman of the Louisiana Racing Commission for 28 years, and that kind of underlines his love and commitment to our sport. He brought Sunday racing and exotic wagering to fairgrounds, and the turf course is named after him, and the Stahl Wilson turf course.
It's named after his father.
His father? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
your grandfather.
Roger Wilson. Those are the real old school guys.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a close relationship with your grandfather?
We did. He died when I was 14, but mainly coming, either going to his house for various holidays and things, or coming out here. I remember him well, and he was a stately man who was – He was one of 10 kids who had to leave home early to find work, and he just was a self-made guy who did very well for himself.
When was the first time you went to fairgrounds?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
You were really young, huh?
In the 60s, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's win photos from, you know, the late 60s at various racetracks of my two sisters and my brother and myself.
Wow. Well, a lot of the lore and the mystique of New Orleans revolves around the races at fairgrounds. What was the vibe like there when you were a kid?
Oh, it was a happening place. No TV parlors and no computers. No, everybody was here. It was crowded on the weekends, and on nice days they had these windows that would push a button and the windows would open up. On cold days, they push and they would close up. So sometimes on a January day when we get those 75-degree days here, the windows would be open. It'd be like sitting at Santa Anita. And then a week later, it'd be in the 40s, and the windows would be up, and everybody would be huddled inside. But it was just a lot happening. Now, very closely interacted with the riders, the paddock. The old paddock was right in the middle of the grandstand, and fenced around there, and it was surrounded by a couple different layers, you know, the first floor and the second floor, people looking down on it. It was a great place.
You know, it's amazing, even though the track's been redone and all that, it still has that close feel. You're close to the horses, you're close to the fans, the jocks, everything's like right there front and center, and it's a great place to go racing.
Yeah, no, Brian Krantz, after the fire, did a good job of the apron is the same exact apron, and he did a good job. He knew he had to make the place smaller. There's no reason for those big racetracks anymore, and putting the paddock right there in the middle where you could see it from all five floors was a very good idea, and he did an excellent job. The pitch of the roof is the exact same angle and the same color as the original track, and you still get that feel. But for obvious reasons, mainly money, it's a smaller place than it used to be, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, without the televisions and computer betting and all that, the tracks needed more space because more people came. But now a lot of people don't fight the traffic, and they bet out of their house and watch on television. So you don't really need as big a grandstand.
Right. I mean, they didn't have a lot of places. You see the old photos, and you're like, wow, look at all those people there. But they didn't even have the closed-circuit TV. So, you know, to watch the races, you physically had to get out there and watch it. You just couldn't sit off in the bar or in the back somewhere and watch it on TV like people do. So it really had people all back-to-back.
Yeah, that's cool. People are always shocked when I tell them we used to have 24,000 people at San Anita on a Wednesday.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
Now they get 9,000 at Belmont Park. They think they're doing good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I was there myself, and I can hardly believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thanksgiving has always been a big day at Fairgrounds, and I know it was for you and your family growing up. Have you continued that tradition with your wife, Nicole, and the kids?
Well, actually, no. I'm there. They go to her family's place in Baltimore. They'll go there this Saturday, and I'm down here. Mainly now, it's a working deal for me. So, I mean, between today and all the way through Monday, I've got 16 horses running. So, you know, it's fun and trying to get the meet started and everything. I mean, we're going to be really busy. So. It's a good week. I know she's with her family, and there's cousins and nephews and things like that, and they're nice and safe, and I'm down here doing my thing. But I haven't missed a Thanksgiving day here at the fairgrounds since I can ever remember. So good or bad, it's creeping up on 50 years. This Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit different because we've got the New Orleans Fighting Saints playing the Falcons in the Superdome Thanksgiving night, which I don't ever remember the Saints playing a home game on Thanksgiving. I remember playing on the road a couple times and watching it. But so we'll be horse racing till about 3:30. They have early post time. Squeeze a little turkey in over my mother's house in the afternoon, I guess. It'll be turkey/tailgate at her house, and then straight to that Superdome. So everybody that I've run across since I've been back here a couple of days is planning on going to the game, and it seems like it's going to be really popular and I'm sure wild as usual.
That's great. That's great. In case you're joining us a little late, this is Jude Feld, and you're listening to Trainer Talk with Al Stahl Jr., and I can't believe you joined us late. I read you studied to be a geologist at LSU and in order to be an asset to your family's oil business, but the lure of the racetrack was too strong, or how did that work for you?
Well, I just went to college and I didn't know what I really wanted to do. And my father was a geologist. So I said, okay, I'll major in geology. And that's what I did. And I graduated with a BS in geology from LSU and worked in the oil field for a few years. And I was doing fine. Everything was okay. And the company I worked for, my father was independent, so there was nothing to do with him. But I worked for a company that was based out of Houston with a little satellite office in New Orleans. And that company was bought out by a really big company. And they shut down the New Orleans office. And I was 23 and didn't exactly know what I wanted to do, where I wanted to do. So I went back to the racetrack and kind of been there ever since. So all those summers and holidays hanging around the track and led me in that direction, and I just finished it from there.
You once said, "My check said Jack Vanberg, but almost everything I learned about training horses came from his assistant Frankie Brothers." Talk about Frankie and your relationship with him and what that's done for your career.
Yeah, well, I mean, my father when he was assistant for Jack Vanberg, he said, you know, it's time for you to get away from that. Jack would have kept him for 40 years if he could have. And so he pried him away from there and kind of had him like a son, you know, and that's just all we saw the whole time. I mean, Jack would pop in every once in a while, but basically like a family member as much as anything.
Yeah, so your dad used Frankie as a trainer, and you went to work for Frankie.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then I left in 91. So that's when I started in August of 91.
And it was at Fairgrounds?
Actually, it was at Chicago, Arlington Park. That was the year he had Hansel.
Do you remember your first winner at Fairgrounds?
I got weaned this time in 91. They went on to Florida, and I came down here by myself. So that's how it got started.
And you opened your own barn then?
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Stole as much tack as I could steal and went on with it.
Yeah, when you first get started, it's kind of tough. I remember I bought a saddle off of David LaCroix that was green. Everybody made fun of it, but green was one of my colors. So I bought this saddle for $50.
Absolutely.
You could always tell.
We got down here and we had bandages and we had this and we had that. And it's okay, let's go. Let's have our first day of training on our own. Went to set the tack and we had no saddle pads whatsoever. And we're like, well, okay, we forgot something there. So we got bandages, cotton standing bandages, and stacked them up on the horse's back until we could make it over the tack shop. So, yeah, you got to kind of figure those things out as you go along.
Yeah, that'll work. That's a good idea. Yeah, you have to be ingenious sometimes to get things done.
Oh, well, you got to, the show must go on in this game, as you well know.
Yep, yeah, that's wild. Well, you know that the soundtrack of New Orleans, the jazz, Louis Armstrong, Pete Fountain, Al Hurt, all those men that were so important to the city. Back in the day, lots of owners liked to hit the jazz clubs after racing, and I imagine they still do.
Oh, absolutely. There's just, you know, like a good friend of ours, Shannon Potter, who your wife works with, is coming down this weekend, and he's like, well, I might go here and go there. I said, well, guess what? You better go and get some reservations because you don't just tiptoe out into the night on a Saturday or a Friday in New Orleans without being prepared because it's just gotten so busy and it's a destination place and people come from all over. And when the last race runs, the night's just getting started, trust me.
Yeah, he's notorious for late reservations. But, you know, I mean, that New Orleans is such a fantastic place to be, whether you're into racing or not, or what, just to go there. I mean, it's one of the few places that I would really like to live. People always tell me I'm crazy, but I don't think they've ever enjoyed it that much. I mean, it's no secret that I like to eat, and there's no place like New Orleans for food. I mean, the food's insane. And what are some of your favorite spots to go when you're home?
Well, you know, the food has expanded. It's all, you know, you don't have to go downtown and fight the quarter and things like that. There's places that really everywhere. And in my neighborhood, my favorite place is Gautreaux's. You'd have to look that up on the website because it's a small place, but it's fantastic. There's a great place called Clancy's we go to all the time. And Pascal Manali's is a famous place. A lot of horse people have gone there over the years. And actually, those three places I'll be hitting, you know, within the next 10 days. I work my way downtown before it's all said and done. Galtois and places like that. Maybe hit Antoine's and certainly a Commander's Palace. You know, we do those type of places once during the meet for the most part. But the places up in the neighborhood, which is good as any place, La Petite Groceries, spectacular place. So, you know, the choice is just, it's doesn't end really, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You ever go to Brightson's?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm known Frank for 30 years and his wife. And I was in Brightson's the night the track burned down, December 17th, 1993. And, I was sitting there at the table and the people just started coming out the kitchen and, Frank called me and said, you know, something, they're looking for you. And they called his phone and no cell phones, and My night watchman called me, and then we turned the TV on, and there was the track just in flames, and it was a night to remember. But that's the day the track burned down, though, and that's where I was, at Brightson's.
Huh. Yeah, it's one of my favorite places to go. I love Frank and his wife, really, really cool people and great food
they
there.
Are. He could be an emerald if he wanted to. He's just not that commercial type of guy as far as knowing what he's doing, talent with the food. He's that type of guy. He's every bit as good or better than those guys. He's just not the kind of guy to grab the microphone, so to speak.
Right, right. I saw him on TV a couple of weeks ago. I was so excited to see him. I haven't been down to New Orleans in way too long, and I was happy to see him out and about. You know, New Orleans, you had the fire there at the track, and then Katrina, you know, and the town's really resilient. I mean, no matter what happens, it always comes back.
Yeah, no question about it. That's just, Katrina was just absolutely brutal. Everybody knows that. And we walked around here like zombies for about 3 or 4 years. It was because it took so long for things to come back, and everybody just fought through it. It was, even if you didn't have that much damage, you still felt it. You were brokenhearted. But then when you could feel it gradually coming back, and you could see changes, and you could see things coming back, and I remember being excited to see a new McDonald's open. I mean, just things that simple. You just felt like there was major progress. And then by the time we had the Super Bowl here, and when the Patriots won it here, it just felt like let the good times roll again. It's been pretty good ever since.
Yeah. What are the big changes that the city's gone through in the last several years?
Well, the main thing I think what's happened is a lot of people who came to Katrina, I came after Katrina to help from around the country, like you were talking earlier, they fell in love with New Orleans and moved here. The applications for college, like Tulane and Loyola and University of New Orleans, when you think they would go down, they went up because a lot of those young people came here on missions and various things, and they wanted to stay. And as a result of that, we've got this younger, nicely educated people, and now we have bike lanes going all through the city, and people aren't that interested in driving cars, and it's just a lot of things that you'd never see. Neighborhoods are improving on a day-to-day basis, and it's a different type of crowd, but it's a nice crowd.
Yeah, you know, there's something about New Orleans that just seems to hook people. And I have some friends that are, every chance they get, they go to New Orleans. Every vacation, every three-day weekend. And they're opening a restaurant now in New Jersey, a New Orleans-style restaurant, to bring that to the people of New Jersey. And what do you think it is? What's the big draw to New Orleans?
Well, because New Orleans has soul. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, you go to a place that you're not that familiar with. You're just kind of trying to figure out how to get your way around. But here, you just kind of once you get here, you just kind of can feel it. Just walking around, the type of people, and just the history and the tradition. It's everywhere, and it's just. It's got a warmth to it, and I, like I said, the word I always tell people is just it's got a soul to it. I mean, even like look up the Saints fight songs and stuff. You know, like when the Vikings came here in the NFC Championship, on the radio they were making fun of the Vikings, rah rah Vikings, you know, one of those traditional songs. And then then we got Lil Wayne singing our Saints stuff, and everything has a good feel to it.
Yeah, well, I think the people are key in that. Everybody from New Orleans seems to have such a great attitude, and they're always looking forward, and they're always, in a good mood. It seems like no matter what befalls the city or their things in their personal life, they really seem to pull together.
Yeah. Oh, no question. And the times of year, it's New Orleans during the summer, it's warm, hot, and it's a little quiet. People are on vacation. They go here and there, but when the fall comes around, the weather changes a little bit, and the Saints get going, and LSU gets going, and and then the holiday season. I mean, from opening day tomorrow through Mardi Gras, there's not a boring day. And Mardi Gras is not till what, maybe March 4th or 5th or something like that. It'll just be a place that there's just action everywhere you turn. You could go as bad as you want to go or be as good as you want to be. It's up to you. Ball's in your court, but there's enough to do for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's a family place too. It's not just debauchery of Bourbon Street. There's a whole lot of things to do on the family side also.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the racetrack is a great place to raise kids. I think it teaches them so much about life and about winning and losing and a lot of math. The nun,
no question,
that I had in third grade, she wanted to know how I knew so much about fractions. And I went to the blackboard
like and
drew the poles and showed her where the 16th pole was and the 8th pole and the quarter pole. She thought I was some kind of derelict at first, but then she goes, "Oh, that's pretty good, pretty interesting."
Yeah,
but
100%.
Track's a great place to learn a lot of things, and in New Orleans, it's a celebrated place. A lot of places, the racetracks are just a place people go to gamble, but in New Orleans, Fairgrounds is celebrated as almost like a monument type of place.
Oh yes, 1872. So it's been. It's been here. It's been through a lot, just like all of us down here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, talk about training there, and a lot of trainers love that racetrack. Talk about just the physical part of training at Fairgrounds.
Right. Well, I've only been here for a couple of days, coming out of Kentucky, and it's first thing that jumps out at me is the surface. We had a lot of rain the past couple of days, and it was nice and tight and together and. And it's a little darker. It's got those silts in it from the Mississippi River, sand mixed with silt, not a lot of clay to it. I imagine now that the front has come through, we got the cool north wind. It'll be nice and dry for tomorrow. And it just, from a horseman standpoint, I'm just so much more comfortable training on this racetrack than the other racetrack I have to deal with during the calendar year. It's not even close. So that makes me feel better because you have a little more confidence in doing what you do, that a horse can take the training and look good the next day. So that in itself is good. And turf course has been excellent the past 4 or 5 years after Churchill renovated it and redid the drainage. And it looks like Augusta National out there right now. So imagine the jocks will say it'll ride really well. And it's just, there's a lot of variables in this game that you can't control, and most of them go against you, but it's nice to have the surfaces on your side from a trainer's standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit some, pretty nice racetracks during the year. You're at Keeneland, you're at Saratoga, but it's always good to go home no matter where you are. It's always good to go home. And I like the tone of your voice when you mentioned, going back to New Orleans and how much you love that every year. And how often do you think about going back during the year?
Oh, literally a couple times a week. I mean, when you're from here and it's in your heart and your mind, I'm constantly on, New Orleans websites, NOLA.com. And, I'm talking with my relatives, my brothers and sisters who live here, and my mother is still kicking, and it lives in you. There's no question about it.
Do you get to take a couple of breaks and go home see your mom every once in a while?
Yeah, periodically. I just the big news yesterday. My phone got blown up. What is it? Alliance or Allegiant? Allegiant Air, right?
Right.
Allegiant just announced a New Orleans Louisville flight, straight shot, dirt cheap.
$57, I think it was. I noticed it too.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, I got it from the Lexington paper, the Louisville paper, the Nolan's paper. Phone calls, everybody was like, "Hey, did you see that?" I said, "Yeah, I saw it." Yeah. So that kind of that'll make life a lot easier too. So
it's cheaper than an Uber.
absolutely. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out, but. I try and do as much as I can, but with the schedule and the kids and various things, it's harder than it used to be. But I just do what I can when I can.
Your wife and your kids, do they live there year-round, or do they travel around with you?
No, they live in Kentucky.
Okay.
They live in Kentucky, and so we got to kind of fight through that. And they're getting older and getting closer, so we're doing fine. We've made it.
What's that like? To have to be moving around, and your moves are relatively big. I mean, you're going more state to state than in California. You just go from track to track.
Right. I've been doing it a long time, and I'm set up to where I have a place in Kentucky and a place here, and the Saratoga is basically just a vacation, working vacation. So. That we don't have that many horses there, and we don't have we just go up there and rent and enjoy ourselves and try and win, it's hard to win up there, try and knock out a couple races, and that's basically just a bridge to get the summer over with. So but basically we just back and forth between Kentucky and New Orleans, and it's a lot easier when you have your own places. You don't have to move furniture and things like that. So as complicated as it sounds, we've got it as simple as it can be.
Oh, that's good. Do you live in Louisville or Lexington?
Louisville.
Okay.
I train at Churchill. When we race at Keeneland, it's just a race and return from Churchill Downs.
Right. Okay. That's cool. So really, you're still home except when you're at Saratoga. Sort of.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Saratoga, where no matter what the living arrangements are, you're happy to be there. So that doesn't matter. But as far as the creature comforts, we have them, here and in Louisville.
That's great. Well, the first half of this show flew by. We're with Al Stahl, and we've got to take a short break. We'll be back in a flash.
Nominate now to the 2019 Fasig Tipton Gulfstream Selected 2-Year-Old in Training Sale. The Gulfstream Sale was the number one ranked 2-year-old sale in 2018 by ROR on pinhooks and percentage of profitable pinhooks, with an average of more than $385,000 and a median of $295,000. And more horses sold for $1 million or more than any other 2-year-old sale in America last year. It's the Fasig Tipton Gulfstream Sale, March 27th, 2019. Nominate now at FasigTipton.com.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
It all started with a dream. A dream to be the best. To breed the best. To race the best.
Super Saver Russell Meyer, what a finish to the class.
And to stand the best. Windstar Farm. Dedicated to the dream.
This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zenyatta now hooking to the grandstand side, and Zenyatta is now coming with a run, looking at Lucky Blame. Blame on the inside, Blame gets the lead. Zenyatta on the outside, looking at Lucky Blame. Zenyatta is flying. Blame trying to hold on. Blame and Zenyatta.
Welcome back to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. This is Jude Feld with our special guest, Al Stahl Jr. And I want to remind you that if you missed any portion of this show, it will be archived on our website, horseracingradio.net, and is also available at Horse Racing Radio on iTunes. Well, that had to sound good to you, huh? Al?
Yes.
That had to sound good to you.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I heard a lot about it. I saw it a few times in Breeders' Cup week.
It was amazing. I was watching a film of it yesterday, and the look on your face, I don't think you were surprised, but I think you were maybe a little bit in shock after the race. I mean, you didn't know what to do.
Well, it was first thing, I wasn't sure exactly who won the race. You know, I just at Angle of Churchill, I watched the race from inside on TV because I didn't have a place to sit. we rented a suite up on the sixth floor, way in the corner, not the jockey club part, you know, not the finish lines, the ones down the stretch.
Right.
And after the paddock, we didn't want to go all the way back up there, so got this ESPN crew following us around. I'm like, I don't know what you guys are, you know, want to see, but we're just going to stand right here and watch the race from right here. We're like the only people inside. So when they came to the wire, I mean, I thought we had won, but it was, you know, who had that racetrack lean going, and it was a bit of a shock. I mean, not necessarily that Blaine could win that race, just the fact that he did it. You know,
yeah.
it was just hard to believe.
Well, it was such an iconic race, and. For you, probably a great race to check off the Al Stahl bucket list. I mean, it was a great race for us too. We actually won the Eclipse Award for the coverage of the race, but I think it was the race that got us that more than anything else. What other races would you love to win?
Well, and honestly, I don't have a bucket list. I don't have a bucket list for anything, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, obviously everybody talks about the Derby and they dream of the Derby, and I don't want to sound like, you know, quote Rudyard Kipling and say, you know, don't let the dreams be your master, but I kind of feel that way. I just, if you have the right horse who feels like he could make it and he qualifies properly, you know, not to be 50, 60 to 1, that would be great. I've never run a horse in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I've always kept those kind of horses on the low road, you know, the Departings and horses like that, and so, you know, I don't really have anything like that. I mean, I'd like to participate and possibly win all the big ones like that, of course, but I don't have anything that stands out from one over another. But I can tell you one thing, the Breeders' Cup was great, but when the Whitney with Blaine, that didn't get much better, I can tell you that. That was a phenomenal day. And Quality Road was a 2-5 favorite that day. I'm sure you remember that. You and Masabi were there. I'm not sure. You know, so that was a good one. That was a really good one to knock out. I can tell you that. I enjoyed that as much as anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, that race has so much history. And, you know, I think that's a good way to be. I mean, a lot of people get obsessed with this race or that race. They want to win this one or that one. And, but you can only win the races that your horses are eligible for, you know. And
right. I mean, I'll go where the horses take me. It's that simple.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's probably why you've won so many races. Your horses are always well spotted, and you know, I mean, that's the key, really. You've had a couple of trainees that have become top stallions in recent years. Louisiana bred Star Guitar. Locally, and this year, one of my favorites, Central Banker, he's one of the top freshman sires. Do you get a kick out of watching their babies run?
Oh, absolutely. That means a lot, especially the stallions. If you have a filly, you know, and you see a baby out of a mare, that's great. But there's something about the stallions that get everybody's attention, and I've noticed that over the years training for breeders, that, you know, they worry about their stallions more than maybe a horse running in a $1 million race. Now that I got a little taste of it, I know exactly what they're talking about. I pay attention to them, you know, the Blaines and the Star Guitars and the Central Bankers, and looking forward to the Lees coming up. And
yeah, I saw a couple of them at the Keeneland sale that are pretty nice.
Yeah, they're well received, and so you know, there's that's a lot of fun. And you know, it's nice to, you know, Blaine went up and then down, and then he earned him. Just like his father, Arch, he's worked his way back up, and they announced a nice, solid stud fee this year at Claiborne, and they say he's, you know, they're waiting list to get to him, and so, you know, all that is it's great fun. It's exciting, and that's a part of the game from a trainer standpoint you want to be involved in.
Oh, absolutely, and some trainers are better at making stallions than others, and they seem to have good luck with that. I think it means a lot that a horse has a career and can, you know, be counted on to pass that all along, the longevity of a horse's career and all the races that they win. And I think some trainers have a knack for having horses that have careers, not just meets.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, when I have a colt who's got some pedigree and talent, I mean, I keep that in the back of my mind, trying to bring him along and picking the spots. And we've got a horse in the barn right now we're trying to do that with, right? You know, Tom's Detox, son of Smart Strike, directly from the family of Candy Ride, with a, you know, stallion's pedigree and brilliant talent. He's had some problems, but, you know, we're just trying to get him from race to race, and maybe one day he can do something, one day soon do something, you know, strong, and maybe make a stallion out of himself. That's kind of how I'm dealing with this horse in my mind, you know, the type of races that we're picking out. So there must be something to it, but I enjoy it because, I mean, that's a nice thing, but that's where the money is in this game. Everybody knows that.
Right, right. When you get a horse, do you kind of formulate an opinion and train that way, or do you train and then formulate an opinion?
Yeah, train for it. They've got to earn their way out. They all start off basically the same level. Obviously, some of them have better pedigrees than others. Some are better looking than others. But you know, I've had some very well bred horses who work them a half mile, 5/8 of a mile, and you just know it's not happening. So so they all start. They all start on the JV or less and have to work their way up.
It's like a farm team.
Exactly. No question. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Bensons for a minute. In New Orleans cooking, there's the Trinity: onions, bell pepper, and celery. Every savory recipe starts with that. But the Bensons took it a couple steps further. They got the Saints, the Pelicans, and the Horses. And they got Tom Amos, Al Stahl, and Dallas Stewart. Talk about being on that team and being in the spotlight, so to speak, in New Orleans, like right there with all the things that happened with the Bensons and their interests and you know, how that works.
Yeah, well, it started with Greg Bensil, not Benson, Bensil. He's a director of communications for the team or all the teams, and he's a horse racing guy, and he talk Mr. B, as they call him, or as we called him, into getting back in the game. He always had a farm and a ranch. You know, Billy Fox was his trainer. Dale Roman's his father-in-law. You know, he got back in it, and they did the right way. They gave each one of us a little budget, Dallas, Tom, and myself, and complete autonomy just to do what we want, buy who we want, send them to the facility we want them to be broken in, and it worked out well. I was a little slow on the take. They had luck right off the bat, and they ran those two horses in the Derby earlier. And I've always felt like I had the horse with the most talent, this Tom Zetas. And I just, you know, we finally, hopefully we got him back on track. But, you know, it was when he was alive and he'd run a horse here at the fairgrounds and he'd come out, you just couldn't believe what the people would do when he'd be in the paddock or, say, in the winner's circle, and they'd stop him and they'd come to him, "Hello, young man." And, you know, it was just a show is really what it was. It was very exciting to be part of it. And, you know, they're great people and great to deal with, and everything they do is just first class. I mean, it's a complete pleasure to deal with them on a daily basis.
Yeah, they've been so important to New Orleans and creating that atmosphere of a great sports town. And you guys, Tom and Dallas, yourself, you've become in that fantastic circle of of sports in New Orleans. What's that like?
Yeah, it is nice. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm a little, I don't know how you can, I don't want to say a little laid back about things like that. I mean, I don't really ask that much. I've been over to Saints camp a little bit, not too often, but, you know, as far as going on the field and things like that, it's pretty neat to be associated with them, but you know, I don't try and get too much into it. They're really busy, and I mean, we have our own tickets to the games and stuff like that. And but it's comforting to be, you know, a little bit on the inside, so to speak. And who could ask for more? The way things are rolling along, our football teams, you know,
they're doing pretty
very,
good.
Very exciting right now. The Pelicans are a very live team this year, and they've got some nice horses. Tom's got 2-year-old filly, won the other day, and Dallas has a nice 2-year-old colt. We have a Distorted Humor that was second at Keeneland, ready to stretch him out two turns, and the horse that beat him was sold yesterday for $650,000. Yeah, that gemologist over at Keeneland from Windstar. So, you know, all of us have live young horses, and we all have some, you know, nice older horses for them. So we've got a good blend, and they're going to have a lot of action this winter here. And so there's just a lot to look forward to, and hopefully success begets success, and we can just keep, you know, riding the coattails of the football team and the basketball team.
Is there a certain sense of responsibility that comes with the notoriety of being the Benson trainer?
Well, I mean, I don't feel that. I've been doing this a long time, and I mean, I'm going to do the same thing I always do as far as taking care of the horses and all that stuff. So not really. They're not high pressure people, and they can take good news with the bad. I mean, they couldn't have been too happy with the Dez Bryant Achilles tendon after being, I think, wasn't even dry on the contract before he got hurt. So, you know, they know how that goes in life. So it's not really that pressure packed. You know, you don't want to lead a horse over there being 2 or 3 to 2 to 5 or even money or something, have him run terrible. But other than that, it's really like just any other client.
In case you're joining us late, this is Jude Feld, and you're listening to Trainer Talk with Al Stahl Jr. Mrs. Benson, she's a very religious lady. She has the Archbishop of New Orleans bless her silks and all that before she puts them into use. Really cool lady. Was lucky enough to interview her at the Breeders' Cup a couple years ago. She's like the Mary Lou Whitney of New Orleans. Like Mary Lou Whitney is to Saratoga what Mrs. Benson is to New Orleans. Talk about your relationship with her and what she's meant to New Orleans.
Oh yeah, no, she's a very pleasant. I've known her quite a while before she married Mr. Benson. Actually, she lived across the street from my parents, so I've kind of known her for a lot of years, and she's just a beautiful, gracious lady, and she's every day you deal with them, it's really nice. I mean, when you see her at the races, she's just pleasant. She asks about the family and how the kids are doing, and she just it's almost just like you'd think. I mean, it's just first class all the way. No stress. There's no, you don't think you're bowing down to somebody. It's just, she just sits right there and does her thing and talks to you like just a regular person. But she's been a tremendous asset for the city of New Orleans. I just heard she's given a speech on the North Shore, some Catholic charity. And I was thinking to myself after, I mean, I think they were, you know, raising money. And I was thinking, gosh, she's going to get in a car and she's going to drive, you know, 30, 40 miles and, you know, give a speech to a little crowd. You know, just, I mean, it's very nice of her to do that. And when she does that, she means it too. So that's the beauty of it also.
Yeah, I think she's very genuine and you know, she's steadfast in her beliefs and the causes that she supports. So it's great that we have people like that in this world. And of course, all the things that the Benses have done for New Orleans is admirable. Obviously, it's opening day is near for the 2018-2019 fairgrounds meeting. How's it looking for your stable this year?
Well, we've already entered. We have a, you know, tomorrow is actually opening day. We have, looks good, actually. We've got a couple running tomorrow, a couple Friday, five on Saturday, and three on Sunday. I'm trying to figure out how to do that Saints game, and these damn horses are getting in the way of that. So I got to figure that out with my boss, Shannon Potter, coming to town. So we'll work on that. But there's a lot of action, and I keep my main assistant in Louisiana to stay in touch with the Louisiana breds, and there's a lot of Louisiana bred races this weekend, and we're in most of the stake races and a lot of the maiden races with the young horses, and we kind of point for these first couple weeks to see if we can get some of these LA breds back going, because we like running in the winter with the fairgrounds than we do the summer. So there's a lot of action, and we'll hopefully something raise their hand and shows us that we're good, and we can move on to like Champions Day. And got a couple run at Churchill this week, got a nice filly running tomorrow, coming out the OBS sale, the OBS 2-year-old train sale, and looking forward to her. And so there's, if you want action, there's plenty of action. We're going to run a horse in the Steel Valley at Mahoney Downs on Monday, one of those stakes. And so we're all over everywhere, but this is our time of year.
Yeah, you said you had 16 horses running in the next few days?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Churchill today, Churchill tomorrow, and then 5 days, 4 days in a row here with a lot of horses, and that horse at Mahoney on Monday. And it's a $250,000 race on a Monday afternoon in Cleveland, Ohio. So you gotta like that. So,
yeah.
anyway, so we've got a few things, and then we turn right around and have the Thanksgiving 4 days, which is couldn't be more fun than being down here for the racing and the festivities that go on with Thanksgiving. So we're going to run CZ Rocket in the Thanksgiving Day Handicap. You know, Yaki's Warriors won it 2 years in a row, and so we're going to try and win it 3 years in a row with CZ Rocket, one of our favorite horses, who's doing well. And so there's a lot to look forward to, and we're excited.
Yeah, you mentioned Louisiana Championship Day. How is that program for the Louisiana breds down there? It seems like it's pretty strong.
Oh, absolutely. The Breeders' Awards are great down here, and the purses are year round, and they're nice and solid, especially in the winter and the fall with Delta and Fairgrounds, and then we have Champions Day at each racetrack. So there's four of those for top money. And believe me, it's very competitive, and everyone's trying to win those races. We're fighting tooth and nail. You'd think it was the Preakness and the Black Eyed Susan. But it's a war. So, it was very competitive racing. There's some very nice LA bred races this week.
Well, the competition amongst the breeders is always kind of stout, no matter what state you're in. People take a lot of pride in the horses that they breed in their state, and Louisiana no exception. But I know they've made some changes the last few years and tried to bolster the program, and it really seems to be working.
Yeah. Oh no. We're doing fine. We're like every other state. We could use a few more mares, but that's just the way. That's the way the world is right now. So full crop drops a little bit, but other than that, everybody's trying to do the best they can.
How about the farm situation there? Are people still, buying farms? Like in California, there's like only half a dozen farms left, basically. Do you have enough land there and places for horses to be raised?
Yeah, no, I have to say it's not quite like California. There's still farms, but I imagine there's plenty for sale signs too. That would go hand in hand with the dropping of the fall crop, but. Hopefully that'll turn around one day, because the purse money is good to run for. It's just it's the outside influences on those type of people that most probably are knocking it down a little bit. It's not like the sales are bad and the purses are bad. It's just other variables, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's a concern all over the country. I mean, it'd be nice to have some more horses, and it'd be nice to have more people breeding horses. It's so important to have the product to be able to have full fields. Everybody wants to have full fields, but there's only so many horses to go around.
Yeah, no, I know. Hopefully it's just a cyclical type thing that it turns around in every state, much less Louisiana. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I know you're going to head to the gym as soon as we're done with this. Is working out a passion for you, or a hobby, or just a way to keep your fantastic body going?
It's just a good balance, the mental and physical part. And I've gotten in, I've just gotten the habits a habit of doing it, and it helps you on all fronts. Mainly your I want my clothes to fit. That's all I care about. And I want my mind to kind of get a little relief every once in a while. So that's the main reasons for it. We're not looking to win any contests.
It helps you mentally and physically.
Yeah, no question.
And I've seen your wardrobe. It's really nice. So you want to keep using
that's right,
those
that's
clothes.
Right. You don't have to let a notch out of the belt. That's a no-no.
You're one of the best dressed trainers around. You always look slick wherever you show up, any hour of the day or night.
I hear you.
So what about other things? What do you like to do when you're not at the track? Which is kind of a silly question because you're almost always at the track.
Right. Well, it's family. I've got my wife Nicole and two children. I mean, I've played golf my whole life. My father was a college golfer, and so I've been doing that for a long time. So just the basic stuff. But, not try to stretch yourself too thin, then you end up doing a lot of things that you really don't enjoy, as opposed to just doing a few things that you do enjoy.
Are you a pretty good golfer?
I used to be. I'm most probably a high claimer now, who needs to be maybe turned out for a while and, something like that. But I used to have some back class.
Does Potter ever take you out or put you in a tournament or something?
Yeah, I've played with him quite a bit, and Seth Simpkin and a lot of guys you know. So, if I had his swing, I'd quit the game.
I'll make sure he gets a clip of that.
Definitely. That's why I said it.
That's great. Well, he partnered up a while back with Sammy, who's like 86 or something, and they end up finishing second. So I knew it wasn't Potter that got the candy; it had to be Sam.
No, he made poor old Sammy Pollock carry the weight, like
Equipoise. That's great. Well, I'm glad everything is going good for you, and you're enjoying your time back home. It's always good to go home, and you have the coolest family too. I mean, I've been to the races with your wife and your kids. Your wife is so fantastic. She always says hello to me every time she sees me, no matter where we are or what's going on. She'll take the time out to come and say hello, and I really love that about her. She's sensational.
Yeah, no, she's got the right attitude for a trainer's wife. She she's a horse person too, and she understands. So it's the right blend for sure.
How important is that to have somebody that understands the game that you're married to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very taxing life and lifestyle, and it's a lot of people are like, I'm going to the beach this weekend. You want to come? I'm like, no, I can't. our weekend is a Monday to Tuesday. You just have to understand how it works and adjust to it, and then once you do, you're fine.
Was she a horse girl growing up?
Oh, yeah. She prepped yearlings, and that's how I met her at the Saratoga sale. She brought two yearlings for Jerry Stoutberg, a car dealer out of Moncton, Maryland. You know, that area that looks just like Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, I love it there. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I ended up buying both the horses. So.
Oh. Oh, boy. Pretty slick.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it works. So that's a true story. Yeah,
that's great. Well, I had no idea. I mean, I've known her all these years, and I had no idea that she worked on the track. That's cool.
Yeah, no, she knows all about. She knows. She's really sharp with the broodmares and stuff. She knows how they're supposed to look and how they're supposed to act and everything. She was on that side of it. Has a very natural feel too. I've noticed that from being around. Whenever we go to farms and stuff, I'm looking at broodmare saying, I guess she looks all right. And she'll be like, oh, no. That's too much spine there, too much ribs, too much this. And, she has a good feel for it even to this day.
That's great. That's great to have somebody like that on your team that's an asset and knows what they're looking at. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I have a horse running for her tomorrow. She's the owner, breeder, first-time starter, 2-year-old.
Uh-oh, a lot of pressure.
I know. Trust me. Believe me. Yeah. I have a horse on the also eligibles for in the same race. And she says to me, what are you doing with another horse in the race against mine? I'm like, oh, that one's on the also eligibles. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's a little tough training for relatives, isn't it?
Right, right. No, we're nice little filly that we're looking to we're looking for her to run good tomorrow.
That's great. Well, I wish her the best of luck. If anybody deserves the chance to win a race, it's her. And
yeah, that'd be fun. She runs in her Maryland colors and everything. They'll be watching closely tomorrow.
That's great. That's fantastic. I'll have to pay strict attention. What race is she in?
I got my overnight right here. I think she's in the She's in the seventh race, four horse.
Seventh race, number four. All right.
Her name is Lanyap.
Oh,
Lanyap.
Yeah. What's that Louisiana for?
That means a little something extra, something good.
Ah.
Like if you go order a donut or something and they throw in a little brownie on the side for free. That's a little Lanyap.
Ah, a little extra treat, huh? Yeah,
exactly.
That's great. Well, great name for a filly.
Oh, yeah. She's by Bind, a horse that I trained also.
Oh, really?
So it's all in the family.
All in the family. That's fantastic. Well, Al, can't believe it went so fast. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a lot of things to do. 16 horses running on this weekend and one for your wife. That's always tough. So best of luck, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Okay. It was my pleasure, as usual, Jude. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, we'd like to thank Al Stahl for taking the time to hang out with us this evening, and a special thank you to our producer, Lee Della Pina, for keeping us in line and on time. You've been listening to Trainer Talk, presented by Phasic Tipton, and this is Jude Feld from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. Good night, everybody, and best of luck at the fairgrounds.